Hello, and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's programme for November the 30th. I'm Scott Kappa. The Swiss Defence Ministry announced plans this week to close down one-third of its facilities. These include military training areas, air bases such as Sion and Canton Valais, and secret facilities. All this to cut rental charges, operational costs, and maintenance. Defence Minister Ueli Maurer said the cuts were to be made in areas where there is less demand, primarily in the deployment and logistics infrastructure. Parliament decided 2 years ago to reduce the number of the army staff to 100,000 and cap annual spending at 5 billion francs by 2016. Because of that decision, it was clear the armed forces would have to reduce their footprint. The cost cuts affect properties in particular because of their high upkeep and the investments needed to keep them running. The ministry said that the cuts would also affect training programs to a lesser extent. I spoke with Alexandre Vautravers, editor-in-chief of the Swiss Military Review. He said the Defence Ministry's decision wasn't necessarily a surprise.
Well, from an infrastructure point of view, definitely, because you have to bear in mind that the Swiss infrastructure for its military force was essentially organized for an army of up to 400,000 troops in the 1990s. And of course, the reduction of the force of the military to half of that number in 2003. And now we're talking about reducing this once again in half to about 100,000 soldiers. This necessarily has to have consequences on the infrastructure, the number of infrastructure on a quantitative scale, but also the quality of these infrastructures do not necessarily meet today's standards. And of course, you mentioned it was a budget exercise. I would say it would be extremely costly to bring all of the infrastructure that was essentially dispersed throughout the country to modern standards in the coming years.
Is that still being used, or is it a lot of it is actually equipment or infrastructure that has been mothballed already?
I would make a distinction between the underground infrastructure, which relatively little is being used. I'm talking about troops and services and so on. This was essentially being used until a few years ago for logistics purposes, and of course the overground infrastructure, the barracks, and here of course most of this infrastructure was being used. If you're talking about something close to us, La Caserne des Vernets, for example, in Geneva, this is something that is being regularly used today for training purposes, and also during the latest events, conferences. There was a field hospital that was installed over there. So most of this infrastructure was being used, is being used still today.
Now, in most countries, when the army or the defense ministry announces a closure of infrastructure and so forth, it's usually taken as bad news. Was this the case for all the Swiss cantons that were affected by the choices?
I would say so, because the canton authorities usually look at it from two points of view. They look at it from the point of the number of jobs that these infrastructures represent. For example, I can tell you for Geneva, this represents between 12 and 15 full-time equivalent jobs. And they also look at it from the point of view of the economic consequences when troops eventually spend time in these areas. Then, of course, there's all sorts of food that is purchased locally. There's the rental of, conference rooms, for example, or training facilities, and so on and so forth. So this does have an economic impact on the local community.
Are any of the cantons going to fight back, or are they going to take it as an opportunity for further development, perhaps in areas where space is at a premium?
If we are talking about the general picture, then I would say yes. Generally speaking, there is resistance from the canton, resistance to change, actually not only because of the reduction in infrastructure, but also the canton are very closely attached to military traditions and military units that have traditionally been associated, attributed to one particular canton. So the canton are definitely have a stake and have a say also in which units they absolutely want to keep for historical historical, traditional purposes. At the same time, I would note that it is quite surprising in one particular case during the recent declarations that the one canton in particular, Valais, did not really put up a fight in order to maintain its air base in Sion, which has an immense economic impact in the region. If you think that this is a touristic destination, if you think of the number of apprentissage positions that are available within this air base in Sion, we're talking about 50 very highly qualified positions over there. It has an immense economic impact on the region and on the town in Sion, and strangely, it is an oddity. There was very little fight by the town authorities in particular for the military to maintain itself in Sion.
Alexandre Vautravers, editor-in-chief of the Swiss Military Review, speaking there. 5 years ago, Swiss voters formally accepted heroin prescription, rejecting a proposal to outlaw the practice by the right-wing Swiss People's Party. It effectively put the stamp of approval on a practice that had been gradually introduced over the years in a number of cities. It was aimed to help drug addicts and to eliminate problems associated with heroin use, such as crime, and the infamous open drug scenes of the 1980s and 1990s. Today, it is an integral part of the country's so-called four-pillar drug strategy, which relies on prevention, therapy, harm reduction, and repression, a policy that has been recognised by many experts in Switzerland and abroad as a success. However, it has not become as widespread across the nation or in rural areas as it might have, especially in the French-speaking part of the country. I asked Jakob Huber of Bern's Contact Netz Foundation, which works with drug addicts, why heroin prescription was not more common.
All what we are doing has two main goals. This is for the addicts to have better health and social integration. On the other hand, to have less problems in the public space. And if a city doesn't have problems in the public space, like some or a village, so it is very difficult politically to install these services. Now, in all cities where we had a lot of problems with drug addicts in the public space, with dealers in the public space, there these services were installed. In the French part, Lausanne, for example, has now a lot of problems in the public space, and so they start to discuss to install these things too. This is the main driver, I can say, the main motivation for communities that have to pay these services is if there is a problem in the public space. And if you don't have enough problems in the public space, it's very difficult to install this. And we had these problems very, very much, a lot of suffering, a lot of problems in the public space in the 80s and in the 90s. So we installed these services, and these services are very successful.
Because it's a politically sensitive issue, would it be possible to imagine that if there were more subsidies from the federal side, which sets the law, it would be also easier to convince municipalities that it's a good idea to have some form of control over the drug process?
We have this discussion on all levels, also on the community, canton and state level. And it has to be a decision in Switzerland, because we are a further federalistic state. It has to be a decision on the level of the communities and cantons. But for sure, if there would be more money from the state level, it would be easier. It's a political question. It's a question of money, too, that you can install these services. This is all over the world the same. So when the financial problems are not there, it's easier to open these kind of services. But I think the main thing is the political will. The moment there is a political will in Switzerland, in the different parts of Switzerland, the different cities of Switzerland, you can install these services. If the will is not there, or there is a fight between parties, though it's blocked.
And that was Jakob Huber of Bern's Contact Netz Foundation. Finally, researchers at the University of Zurich and the Scottish National Museum have revealed a new species of an ancient reptile that lived over 200 million years ago. Named Macrocnemus abristi after the amateur paleontologist who discovered and prepared it to go on display, the fossil was found 5 years ago not far from Davos in eastern Switzerland. The animal, which resembled a leggy lizard, belongs to a small group of early reptiles of which only two other species are known, one which was found in Canton Ticino and the other in China. I asked Heinz Führer of Zurich University what kind of environment the reptile lived in.
In these Middle Triassic times, so 240 or 241 million years ago, most part of Switzerland, or nearly the whole part of actual Switzerland, was covered by a sea. It was a quite shallow sea at the margin of an old ocean called Tethys. And in this shallow part of the ocean lived many organisms, planktonic organisms, clams, gastropods, but also many fish, small fish, big fish, up to 1 meter in length, and marine reptiles. And in this environment, this sediment have been deposited at the bottom of the sea, and then a very long time afterwards, after deposition of more than 100 million years of more sediment, so more marine sediment of late Triassic and Jurassic time, these sediments have been hardened and have been folded during the alpine tectonics. And so during the formation of the Alps, these sediments have been deformed and lifted up to 3,000 meters in the Alps.
So we've gone from the beachfront to the alpine retreat.
Yes, yes. And this special locality, or near Davos, has been situated at near the coastline in this time, and we had probably small islands covered with a little bit of vegetation. We found also fossil plants transported into the sea, and even a few insects. And we suppose that this new saurian Macrocnemus abristi lived on this smaller island and have been washed into the sea during a storm, as it was just near recently in the Philippines, where you have a typhoon with a catastrophic damage to the island. And then during such time, animals, dead animals and plants are washed into the sea.
Heinz Führer of Zurich University speaking there. And that's all we have time for this week. For more news and current affairs from Switzerland, please check out the swissinfo.ch website. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Kappa.